Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
I need a job with a steady paycheck.
I need a job that offers health care on day one for me and my kids.
I want a job where I can get certified in technical roles, like robotics or software engineering.
In communities across the country, hourly Amazon employees earn an average of over $23 an hour, with opportunities to grow their skills and their paycheck by enrolling in free skills training programs and apprenticeships. Learn more at aboutamazon.com.
Despite the losing record, the Texans are exactly where they need to be. We'll talk it out here on In the Loop. The fellas are out today. I'm Luke Morrow alongside Brandon Scott, Figgy Fig on the steel wheels, and you as well. Appreciate you hanging with us on this Thursday. You can always join the conversation on the text line 713-572-4610 or get to us on YouTube and Twitch as well. If I were to ask you guys, how do you feel? I mean, we've been talking about it all week, of course. Been talking about the tough AFC South, but how do you feel about the Texans currently? In their state, where they're now 2-3, they're in third place. How do you view the team right now in the big picture? Like how confident do you feel that this is still a playoff team?
Yeah, so I mean that last part, the actual question there is the difficult thing to answer because in a vacuum, I feel really good about the Texans and their own improvement and how they're looking now as opposed to how they started the season. So if we just look at the Texans in a vacuum, at them sort of isolated, I feel pretty good about what they're doing and where they are. If I do the bigger picture thing, where they fit in the overall ecosystem and the AFC landscape, we asked, or I did, Indy Kalu at the end of that segment that we did in the last hour, if he was worried about the AFC South, and he said you'd be a sports idiot if you weren't, and I agree with him. Like, it is all of a sudden a difficult division. And so I say all that to say I feel a lot worse about what's around the Texans, everything that's happening around the Texans, than I do about the Texans themselves, as opposed to maybe 2 or 3 weeks ago when I was just down on what the Texans were doing themselves. So it's changed a little bit. Feel better about the team. Don't feel great about the situation.
Yeah, and I think that's fair. Figgy, if I were to ask you, how do you currently feel about these Texans at 2-3? How do you feel about the playoff chances for them at this point?
Yeah, to me, I feel better about the Texans, the way they've been playing on offense and all that. But when I look around the division, I'm just like, man, I'm not sure what to think of the Jags right now. I'm not sure if they're for real, but they seem like a scrappy bunch where if it's a close game, they could probably pull a game off, which is kind of scary. So I feel like the Jags are a little bit in the way. And the Colts, they just been kind of blowing people out, man. Like, yeah. I'm not sure if that's going to last long, but just with the Houston Texans sitting at 2-3, I'm a little worried that it might be a little too late.
Interesting. Yeah, I think because the AFC is so wide open, I think they will have more time. But if you look at the power rankings, obviously everyone's not all that high in the Texans right now. Pro Football Talk has the Texans ranked 21st in the league. The Athletic has them at 19th. CBS Sports has them at 18th. ESPN has them at 18th. Sports Illustrated also has them at 18th. USA Today has the Texans at 17th. That's the highest ranking. I think despite the 2-3 record, if I can make the case, I think they're exactly where they need to be in the sense that the AFC is wide open. And the Texans right now are second in the AFC in point differential. And sure, of course, that was helped out by this past Sunday's blowout. But I'm a big point differential guy. I think that's where you could see which teams are going to regress the mean regress to the mean, or which teams are going to have positive regression. And so I think, obviously, with those three close losses, the two blowout wins, you can make a case that the record is a little bit stronger than 2-3, that if they scored 21 points, which is below league average, you score 21 points each week, you're 5-0 right now. But furthermore, the Texans have the number one defense. We know that. Fewest points allowed per game in the NFL to this point since 2000. They've actually allowed the fewest points through the first five games than those 85 Bears did by a significant amount. And again, small sample size. It's only been 5 weeks. But we know how good this defense is. And then I think the other aspect, too, is just, as I already kind of mentioned, no one is that great in the AFC right now. I mean, when we came into this season, the three teams you were most worried about, the Chiefs, the Ravens, and the Bills, they have the three best quarterbacks as well. Well, you know, we know the Ravens are a mess. They're 1-4. Lamar is still out this week. The Chiefs are under 500. We'll see if they can figure things out. And then the Bills, they are playing well, but the teams they've beaten this year are a combined 3-17, and they just lost at home to the Patriots. And there's also a stat about the last team to go undefeated usually actually doesn't fare that well in the NFL. And technically, the Bills were the last team to go on. They were the last team to lose. It was Sunday Night Football this past week. So history might not be all that great either for the Bills. Otherwise, are we really that worried about Daniel Jones and Trevor Lawrence? If you swap out Patrick Mahomes and Lamar Jackson and replace them with guys like Daniel Jones and Trevor Lawrence, it is the most wide-open AFC we've had in a number of years, which is why I think despite being 2-3, the metrics are still really positive. The Texans have the number one ranked special teams, number one ranked defense. Offense may be turning a corner. I'm usually labeled the negative guy. I've been really positive this week. I think the Texans are right where they need to be despite being 2-3.
Look at Luke, positive over here.
No more hating as Luke.
Yeah, that's right.
This is not a hating as Luke.
Switching it around today.
I can appreciate and respect this. Okay, so there are a couple of parts of that I do want to pick apart, though.
Of course.
Or want to look at. So first of all, the wide open AFC thing, okay?
Yeah.
With you there, completely agree. Here's where I would poke a hole in the logic, though. It feels like an underachieving AFC right now.
Mm-hmm.
But the Texans feel like they're a part of that, right? They're on the upswing. They're playing better over the last couple of weeks. But a part of the downgrading of the AFC this year, obviously the Ravens are the main ones. You mentioned that the Bills record they're not quite as pristine as maybe you would expect. The Chiefs have certainly taken a step back. And so if you just look at the top three teams that you were expecting to be really good, I know before the Joe Burrow injury, there was a thought, could the Bengals have a bounce back year after having a really like a historic offense last year, but also a historically bad defense?
Yep.
Could the Bengals return to form? And none of that has exactly happened. Bengals out there trading for Joe Flacco. And so, but the Texans, you know, to their credit or lack thereof, have also disappointed everybody. I think almost to a man was picking them to dominate the AFC South after what they did the last couple of years. And that just simply has not happened. And so they are themselves a part of the downgrading or the underachieving of the AFC that we speak of. So I don't want to lose sight of that. Now, the point differential thing, I, like you, am also a point differential guy. So I like that you use the stat. I'm 100% with it and in support of it. But I think with the Texans in this situation, it does deserve the context of how these games played out and the games that they lost and the games that they won. Like, I'm not here for downgrading the wins because of who the opponents were. Like, I don't want to do that because that has nothing to do with the Texans. Like, the Texans couldn't make the Titans be better.
Right.
The Texans couldn't make the Ravens be healthier. And even if they were healthier, make them better on defense, right? Mm-hmm. Like, that's not the Texans' job. They couldn't do anything about that. So kudos to them for going out and taking care of business. But this, once we get to the point differential conversation, is where I would step in and provide the context. Like, yeah, they blew out a pitiful Titans team at home. Yeah, they beat down a pitiful version of the Ravens. Point differential in those two games might be skewed. And then the fact that they lost those three close games, like you say, hey, they could have scored 21 points and they win those games.
Yeah,
they could have, but they didn't. Mm-hmm. And one of the marks of, I think I said this on the drive earlier in the week, I was making a point that one of the marks of a really good team is the one, like, forget everybody talking about how it's
you know, it's a one score league and all of these one score games. Nick Caserio will feed you that. Like, aside from that, the important thing to remember is that the good teams find a way, and this is why the Texans were a good team or and have been a good team over the past couple of years. They find a way to win those close games. It's right. It's literally the difference between the good teams and the not so good teams, the haves and the have nots. The ones that can win those close games and the ones that haven't really quite figured that out or don't have that capability. And then vice versa, the bad teams are the ones that do everything they can to lose a close game, right? And so they felt like the team that wasn't good enough to win the close ones in the first two games, and then in the case of the Jaguars game, they felt like the team that was just so bad that they wouldn't win it if you'd give it to them. They would figure out a way to lose the, because that's what that game was about. It was a competition to see who wanted to lose the game more. Yeah. And the Texans won that one. So I think that part is important. Yeah, they played in close games, but they didn't look like the good team in the close game. And then in the blowouts where the point differential is in their favor the most, they did go up against some pretty sad outfits. So I would point that out. Even though I like your positivity, I felt like it deserved a little sprinkle of context on that.
Yeah. No, I don't. I acknowledge the flaws in my argument, certainly the point differential one. So I don't disagree with you. And we have people split on both sides. On the text line, someone said, wow, didn't know that. They're number one in two out of three phases. Luke just changed my outlook. Let's go. But then the very next text says, 100% agree with you now, B. Scott. Which was a different number. But now, you know, I might have persuaded someone, and then right after you persuaded somebody else. So it is a split thing. I'll also offer this into the evidence as well. DVOA,
okay,
Football Outsiders put together the 2-3 teams dating back to 1978, the 2-3 teams that have the best DVOAs all time. Texans are number 10 all time. Number 10. So that makes them theoretically the 10th best 2-3 team, just simply off of DVOA, which is another metric I do enjoy.
Yeah.
10th best 2-3 team all time. Now, I will tell you, how much does this mean? I'll, again, poke holes in my own argument, because four of the eight teams ahead of them that finished seasons previously, only four out of eight had winning seasons. Only three made the playoffs. So it's still not a guarantee, but the point being, statistically, this team has graded out pretty well. The metrics are all pretty good despite the losing record. I guess the point I'm trying to make is, yes, they have underachieved, and they are better than that 2-3 record shows. Oh, by the way, in a very wide open and weaker AFC.
What do we think about what's in front of the Texans? Like, I hate to do the too much scoreboard, box score, schedule watching. I feel like that can be really lazy at times. But it's hard to look at their schedule. Since you're in the bye week, you ain't got nothing but time on your hands and opportunity to do this sort of thing. You look at their schedule and try to just imagine, based off of what you've seen through 5 weeks, try to imagine how it might go. The Texans, again, in their bye week, as we know, have 12 games left, right? They got 12 games left.
Yep.
If you look at the next eight of them.
Oh, yeah.
Seven of the eight of them are pretty tough games, mm-hmm. right? You got a Titans game squeezed in there, of course. Mm-hmm. The Titans, that's a game that you feel like you don't want to just chalk it up as a win, but it would be a travesty to lose to the Titans in any context at this point in the season. So the Titans is a game that you feel like they could win. But out of their next eight games, we're talking Seahawks, Niners, Broncos. You get the Jags again, who, look, I think after that game, the game that they played against the Jags, I thought, okay, well, they'll get the next one. Surely they'll beat the Jags at home. But then credit to the Jaguars for, since then, actually looking like a legitimate team. I'm not so sure that the Texans are beating the Jaguars at home. So I feel like you got to include, and they're 4-1. So you got to include them as a tough opponent. And you go, let's skip the Titans for a second. You go Bills, Colts, Chiefs, you know. So those are your next eight games. Seven out of the eight of them are really tough ones. I think this is going to be our opportunity, and certainly their opportunity, to learn more about themselves, but our opportunity as observers to really know more about this Texans team as they assuredly play a lot more close games than the ones that they played over the last couple of weeks when it's been blowouts. I expect every one of these games, save for the Titans game, to be close games. We'll see how they look when they do it.
It is a ridiculously tough stretch over the next 2 months. It's a stretch in which they have to have a winning record over the course of those eight games, because if you don't,
you'll come out of it with a losing record overall in the season with just a month left in the season. So, yeah, you got to find a way to beat some good teams and beat them consistently, back-to-back weeks and have a winning record over the next 2 months. It is a really tough stretch, which is another reason why I'm coming around like, oh, maybe the timing of the bye is actually good.
Yeah.
Gear up before this brutal stretch.
One surprising thing definitely is, or the surprising thing of the season for me has to be Daniel Jones. Like, I'm not surprised that he's better than Anthony Richardson. What I'm surprised about is that you can't get through, like, the first half of the start. Like, you can't get through half of the league and get to a better quarterback than Daniel Jones. I'm not sure you can get to 10, right? You might have your favorite quarterbacks or quarterbacks that you think are better than Daniel Jones, like, bigger picture. But I'm just talking about the way that they're playing right now through the first five games of the season. You're not going to get to 8 to 10 quarterbacks that are playing better football than Daniel Jones. That part of it is surprising to me.
For sure. Yeah, and he's in the MVP conversation right now. I don't know how many people saw that coming.
No.
Let me just throw one more stat at you because this one actually surprised me. I lost who this was, but it's an analytical group that does a bunch of stats for football. They rank the play callers so far in the NFL. The Texans overall are ranked third for the best play callers, offense and defense. Third best in the league, only behind the Seahawks and the Jaguars. But the more surprising part to me, they have Nick Caley right now as the 12th best offensive play caller in the NFL.
Yeah, that's got to be on the strength of the last couple of games, because I will say Nick Caley has been in his bag as of late. But how about for the Texans right now, as of 2 weeks ago, have two first-year play callers. I know you'll hear D'Amico Ryans talk about how he's in the headset and he's got his hands in every aspect of the game, and I believe that. But the truth of the matter is right now, if Nick Caley's calling the plays on offense and Matt Burke is calling the plays on defense, you got two first-year play callers for your respective size of the ball, and you're, what did you say there, third?
Third overall. Yep.
That's pretty damn good. Not too shabby.
Yeah, and this is not subjective. They look at different numbers. On offense, they look at non-scripted efficiency, points over expected, personnel diversification, QB ELO rating, good band from back in the day, scripted efficiency, passes over expectation, so on and so forth. A bunch of nerdy metrics, and that's how they get to these rankings. And they ranked Caley 12th, and they ranked the Texans overall third, which I found surprising. I don't know. Maybe I convinced you. Maybe you are still positive as you were to start the season on these Texans.
Man, hell with it. Let's be positive. Let's take Luke's side and be positive
about
this.
Yeah, for once.
We on a bye week anyway, man. Let's get positive. I'm with you.
Didn't work on Ocho. He texted the show saying, again, we ass. He said that yesterday, too. So didn't convince him. Texans are 2 turnovers late in the game away from being 4-1.
Stop doing that.
Yeah, right. To become a good team.
Yeah.
So a texter said the defense is legit and still have 5 division games left to play. Someone said, we play the Colts twice, right? Yeah, we could still take the division. This week will help us learn more about the Colts and Jaguars and if we need to take them seriously. So anyway, so on and so forth. People are still, I think, leaning positive, but split right now.
Don't let me kill your joy. But like, for real, don't let me kill your joy, man. If you positive, I'll be positive with you. Let's go.
Yeah, for sure. Last 5 quarters, CJ has recaptured his confidence and trust in the new offense. He's going to slice and dice the rest of the season. There's that positivity. When we come back, hey, it's time. We do it each and every day. Time for our confessions, and we will do it next.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
I need a job with a steady paycheck.
I need a job that offers health care on day one for me and my kids.
I want a job where I can get certified in technical roles, like robotics or software engineering.
In communities across the country, hourly Amazon employees earn an average of over $23 an hour, with opportunities to grow their skills and their paycheck by enrolling in free skills training programs and apprenticeships. Learn more at aboutamazon.com.
Whatever happens today, take it on with a fresh cup of True Brew coffee. Now only $1 with True Rewards. True North Store's True Brew coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. As a free True Rewards member, pick the size that is perfect for you and pay only $1. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns.
You know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos, maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Lunchtime Confessions presented by the Men's Clinic. We do it at this time each and every day. I brought some positivity last segment. I guess I'll be a little more negative now. I am a tough critic when it comes to movies, and I watched a movie earlier this week from the Coen brothers, their newest movie. I guess my confession is just I love movies. I watch a lot of movies. I got a bunch of movies that I do like. I am a tough critic. But I think maybe my confession is I don't like most directors or like most famous movie directors. I think the Coen brothers are incredibly overrated. And actually, this movie was decent. It's one of my more favorite ones of theirs. But I don't think they're very good. I think Wes Anderson is terrible. I don't really like a lot of Paul Thomas Anderson stuff. Even like Quentin Tarantino to me.
Are you a Tarantino guy?
Some of his stuff for sure. I also think the thing is, like, these guys are so unique, so different, and I think that's the big calling card. Like, Wes Anderson, very quirky. Paul Thomas Anderson, similar. You know, Quentin Tarantino has his own style, and I think that's almost part of the reason why they're propped up so much. I don't know how good a lot of their movies are. The Coen brothers, same idea. Like, they have their own style, and they're kind of different, and they're unique, which typically I can appreciate. And I do like directors. Martin Scorsese is my favorite. That's probably a cliche. Wes Craven, I love. I thought he was really good.
Are you a Christopher Nolan guy?
Yes, I am, for the most part.
You sure?
Yeah, because I think he jumped the shark a little bit with, what was that, the last one?
Was it Oppenheimer? Well, he did Oppenheimer.
Oh, before that. Was it Interstellar? Is that what it's called? What was the one? There was some crazy movie where he tried to get...
One with Denzel's son?
What was that one? I know what...
What was that one?
Denzel's son, by the way, a very, very good actor. Shouldn't surprise anybody. He's Denzel's son. Interstellar was like a decade ago, man.
Was it? Okay, which one am I thinking of?
I don't know which one you're thinking of.
I'll look it up.
He did Inception.
Tenet. I was thinking about Tenet.
Tenet. That's the one. Yeah. That movie was terrible.
Yeah,
it was so confusing,
yes,
man.
That's what yes. I'm saying. He and became Christopher Nolan. He was trying to become too much of his personality,
dude,
or his reputation.
It take a lot for me to fall asleep during the movie. I fell asleep a couple times during this movie, and everybody kept saying, oh, you got to watch it again. You got to watch it a couple times to understand. Why do I got to watch a movie a couple times to understand it?
Yeah,
man?
It feels like he has been trying to, and this is my novice opinion, but it does feel like he has been trying to re-inception ever since.
Yeah, that's
you know,
what
like
I mean.
Try to up the LA. You know how you have a great album, and maybe after that.
He's trying to chase that great album.
Yeah.
He's trying to use the same formula.
That's it to me. Now, I don't know how many people out there actually liked Inception at the time when I watched it. I don't know if it's because of where I was in life. You know, I was a young adult. But I was blown away. And it feels like ever since then, he's been trying to find that and just hasn't quite done it.
Yeah, that's how I kind of feel about Jordan Peele. He keep trying to get that Get Out.
Yeah.
Like, he hit big with Get Out. And it seemed like the last three or four movies he put out, it was trying to do something like that.
Yeah.
And it just kept flopping.
Hey, I'm wearing a Spike Lee Malcolm X t-shirt right now. I'm the same way with Spike in the earlier Spike stuff, the stuff that made Spike famous, I think is great. The stuff that he does now.
Did you see that recent one he did with Denzel Washington? Denzel Washington?
I did. It was good, but it was not like, that would have been a straight to VHS type of situation for me back in the day. You know what
yeah.
I mean? Like, that was one where it's good if you're completely bored. Denzel, of course, was excellent, but I wasn't feeling it.
Yeah, I wasn't feeling it. Yeah,
I haven't been feeling a lot of the stuff. What was the one that he did? I'm forgetting the one where they're like pilots or whatever. He's been doing a lot of Netflix stuff.
Yeah,
and the Netflix stuff has just not gripped me.
Yeah,
in that way.
I think that's the case for actually a lot of just movies in general that go to Netflix. But yeah, maybe that's the point. Maybe that's it. That they get the first movie or their early stuff's good, and then it just becomes more of a reputation thing moving forward.
They start experimenting a little bit too much, or either they tried to do the same thing over and over.
Right.
We're just like, all right, we get it, man.
Yeah. Yeah. Like M. Night Shyamalan's very much like that. But yeah, anyways, I guess that's my confession is I do like certain directors. I like just about everything Scorsese's put out. Like I said, Wes Craven for horror films I thought was the best. But most of these guys that people always talk about being like unique and artsy and creative and cool and these great directors, I don't know. I think most of their work's kind of lame, boring, not very good. I'm out on a lot of these quote-unquote big-time directors.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
I need a job with a steady paycheck.
I need a job that offers health care on day one for me and my kids.
I want a job where I can get certified in technical roles, like robotics or software engineering.
In communities across the country, hourly Amazon employees earn an average of over $23 an hour, with opportunities to grow their skills and their paycheck by enrolling in free skills training programs and apprenticeships. Learn more at aboutamazon.com.
Whatever happens today, take it on with a fresh cup of True Brew coffee. Now only $1 with True Rewards. True North Store's True Brew Coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. As a free True Rewards member, pick the size that is perfect for you and pay only $1. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
The Five Bloods was the one that I was trying to think of earlier.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
I wasn't feeling it. All right, man. So I consider myself to be a decent dad. I feel like I'm getting better and better as time goes on. And it's about damn time. My oldest is 15. So it's not like I haven't had a lot of practice at it. But I did a real bad parenting thing today. And you might even date it back to a couple of nights ago. I DoorDashed some food, some Taco Bell. And look, I fell asleep before the Taco Bell actually got to my door. And so that means that I woke up to said Taco Bell, didn't do the adult thing that you're supposed to do when that happens, which is take the loss, throw the food away, and just, you know, to just take that L. I brought the food inside. The food made its way to the refrigerator. And my kid, my oldest kid, the 15-year-old who loves Taco Bell, took it to school today, which is to say,
man,
I sent my kid, I just got a text while we were doing the show, "Dad, you left the food outside for too long. There's ants all over the tacos." So I sent my baby to school with Aunt Field Tacos today.
Now
she's got money on her books, so to speak, right?
Okay,
she can go in there and get some food. She can get whatever she wants in that cafeteria. Whatever they got, she got enough money to buy it. But I did send her with a two-day-old bag of Taco Bell with ants on it. And not a great feeling.
So yeah. How did the ants get on it? Was it in a refrigerator?
So what I'm saying is,
what are you saying? He's got ants in his refrigerator.
Hell, I'm gonna have to go check because I'm
right. Now you know what I mean.
Like, and to be fair, like I didn't notice any. If I did, they didn't get outside the bag, but they left the bag outside at my door. And this is at about 12:30, maybe 1 o'clock in the morning when this happens. I wake up at 5 a.m. So it's been sitting out there for a solid four to five hours.
Yeah,
you know, and so that's how the ants got on there. But man. I never looked in the bag. I never did anything. I just brought it inside.
Oh, man.
My daughter discovered it, loves Taco Bell, threw it in the fridge. And, yeah, next thing I know, she's taking it to school this morning. And I thought when I saw it, like, I don't know if you should be taking that. We probably should have thrown that away. That's a couple of days old. It was sitting outside for a little bit. I don't know how good that is. I didn't think about ants.
Yeah.
I just thought the food probably not any good. Turns out it was ants on the tacos, man.
Dang, that could be a tough look, too, for a kid at school.
Yeah.
Busted out the lunch table.
Ooh, yeah.
That could be a little traumatizing too, man.
Yeah, I hope she didn't do that.
I had a similar situation, and I don't even know how this situation happened. So I had a bagel, and I'm a big fan of the, I think it's called Everything Bagel, where they got the different seasonings on it. I'm such a big fan to the point I had the actual seasoning where you could put it on top of the cream cheese or the bagel. It's an everything seasoning. So I had that in the cabinet. I was using it. And it was one time I haven't used it in a minute. I'm like, you know what? Let me put some on the bagel. I put it on the bagel, and I was kind of half asleep a little bit, wasn't paying attention. And I grabbed my plate, and I looked down. I'm like, is this bleep moving? So I had to look. It was tiny little bugs crawling all over the bagel, man, and the cream cheese.
Oh, man.
Like, I had to throw
it.
Yeah, if I wasn't paying attention, I would have just took a bite. But
like
for some
factor.
Reason, you know, you kind of see on the side of your eye, you like, is that moving?
Yeah.
Or am I tripping?
Yeah. How high am I?
Yeah. I threw it in the trash. I had to take the whole trash out.
Hey,
man.
Thank God for your senses and your sobriety, man. Because, hey, if you didn't have the greatest eyesight, or if you had been on something, you might have missed it.
Yeah, at that point, I'm like, man, I think it's time to move out this apartment.
Yeah, I would say so. How long would you eat leftover fast food? Because I think fast food, it's not like real food, you know, like the chemical, everything. I think it holds actually better than normal. You said you wouldn't have eaten that Taco Bell. Like, what would be the timeline?
Oh, no, if I brought it in a decent amount of time and didn't let it sit outside, that was the key part. Yeah,
okay.
I think she could have eaten it today. You know, probably maybe I would have tried to lean toward this morning as opposed to waiting until lunchtime. Like, I would say 24 to 36 hours is decent. Past that, I feel like you're just maybe flirting with danger a little bit. Better to be safe than sorry.
Yeah,
for sure.
I usually, if it's over a day, like I will eat it the next day. But after that, it's probably not good and probably not even worth warming up, depending on what it is.
Yeah, I almost look at it like a shower. Like, you should take a shower every 24 hours.
Uh-huh.
If you go 36, you're probably okay, but you can't get to that full 48 because then now you're nasty. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Like, if you miss the 24 hours, feel like you still kind of got a little 12-hour window for where you can get that bath in and you not be a disgusting human being.
You could take a shower Saturday morning and then maybe spend Sunday without showering, just hanging around the house.
Yeah.
But you can't go after that.
You can't go to work Monday, though, and not take that shower.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's kind of like that with the fast food.
Yeah.
That's fair.
All right, real quick, I'll get y'all out of here on this with my confession. So I watched the Rockets game last night. I watched some of it. Saw Kevin Durant, and I was kind of like everybody else, like, wow, he's really a Rocket? Like, damn, I was watching him on the court and all that stuff. And then this is my confession. I couldn't believe this. They flashed a graphic on the screen saying Kevin Durant, 18 seasons. I'm like, 18 seasons?
Yeah.
I'm like, damn.
And he will point out, by the way, that it's actually 19. I feel like he's not getting credit for one somewhere in there because this came up during the media day where somebody said, hey, man, it's your 18th season as a preface to a question. And he cut him off. 19 seasons. So it's really 19, man.
Is he not getting credit for it?
I think he might have got hurt or something like that.
Was out.
I forget. It's some kind of technicality to where it's officially 18, but it's actually been 19. So, yeah, man, dude's been around for a minute.
Yeah, I couldn't believe that. I'm like, damn, because we all look at LeBron like, 23 seasons and all this other stuff. I'm like, damn, Kevin Durant, he's doing all of this in 18 seasons? That's kind of unheard of, man.
Well, Steph Curry did an interview with Malika Andrews over the weekend, or maybe it was last week, where she starts off with talking about, hey, this is your 17th season. And I'm like, 17th season?
Yeah.
I remember when he was at Davidson and that jersey was falling off of his shoulder, right?
Yeah.
What are we talking about, man? I remember Dale Curry. I watched Dale Curry as a kid. I remember his dad.
Yeah.
So, yeah, man. Wow.
Yeah. And then the other thing is, it's like, damn, these guys are still hanging around and still at the top of their class, pretty much, of the NBA. And it's like, man, once these guys are gone, I don't know what to think of the NBA, man, because I feel like nobody, even all these years they've been dominant, I feel like nobody really overstepped them. It's wild.
Yeah,
man.
It used to be year 17, year 19 meant that a guy was a fossil and that he just had a small role. Maybe he was a leader on the team, like a vocal leader, but he didn't play as much. And when he did, he wasn't as effective.
Or taking a big step back.
Yeah, or taking a big step back, start talking about the decline. These guys are still superstars.
Yeah, and even like LeBron, taking a step back, but the guy's still averaging like 24 points a game.
Yeah, still one of the better players in the league. Crazy.
It's crazy.
Yeah, Durant missed that season after the Achilles. I don't know if you count that, though, because he wasn't playing games. So I know it's a credit to him being a year older and still in the NBA, but like he hasn't played 18 years in the league. I think that's the more, that's more what it's about.
Yeah.
I don't think we can count that year that you didn't play any games.
Yeah.
But
he's still
NBA.
Been in the league for 19 years.
The dude was drafted in 07. He was a Seattle supersonic.
Yeah.
A supersonic. Him and Jeff Green were supersonics. Like, we're at a point now where that's a wild thought to think that somebody is in the league long enough to have said that they wore the supersonic
uniform.
I played
with the supersonics.
Yeah. And not in irony, like actually in Seattle.
That's right.
Yeah. That's crazy.
Yeah, it is crazy. He's been around a long time. We usually do buy or sell coming up, but we're going to push that because we actually got some Astros breaking news that we're going to have to get to when we come back. Also, by the way, someone on the text line said that I look like somebody who would enjoy Michael Bay movies. Michael Bay had some hits in the 90s, all right? Don't try to put down Michael Bay. But I do enjoy those movies, so you are correct. Yeah. In the meantime, we got the giveaway.
Yeah.
All right, perfect. I wanted to make sure I should ask you that off air first. But we got a U of H giveaway to get to here before we hit the break. Caller number 7 wins 4 tickets to the Cougars game against Arizona on October 18th. And tickets are courtesy of the University of Houston. 7th caller, 713-572-4610. 7th caller gets 4 tickets to the Cougars game on October 18th. Against Arizona. Call now, get your tickets. We'll come back with the Astros breaking news. It's in the loop. That's right, breaking news. Rejoice, Astro fans. You've been calling for it all year. You finally got your wish as the Astros, just announced by Chandler Rome earlier this hour, the Astros are parting ways with hitting coach Alex Cintron. New hitting coach coming for the Astros. More staff changes are expected to happen as well, according to Chandler Rome, who covers the Astros of The Athletic. By the way, Luke Morrow and Brandon Scott in for the fellas here with Figgy Fig on In the Loop. But there's your breaking news. Cintron's gone. New hitting coach will be on the way for the Astros.
Yeah, so I don't think this should surprise anybody given their lack of performance, especially this year, and the fact that it seemed like the hitting coaches specifically had their own marching orders coming into the year. Dana Brown has talked about having met with them last winter and feeling like they had gotten away from their identity in terms of their approach at the plate and taking more pitches. And it just did not look like quintessential Astros. It was something that they wanted to get better at going into this season. And then what did they do? How did they respond? They go in and have the second highest chase rate, which was pointed out by Chandler Rome in his article at The Athletic. They had the second highest chase rate in all of Major League Baseball and saw the third fewest pitches. So they were chasing and swinging often, And we saw how that worked out. They did not have a good offense. It was the thing that I think did them in. It did not help that some of their best hitters saw significant injuries. And this is on top of the – we're not even talking about the pitching aspect of it. We're talking about the hitters. Yordan, Isak Paredes, Jeremy Pena was out for a stretch. So, yeah, I mean, and Isak Paredes was acquired for this exact reason, because he's a patient hitter. He sees pitches. He takes walks. And is just really good at seeing the ball. So this is not a major surprise, given what it seemed like their marching orders were coming into the season and then what the results were as the season went on.
Yeah, yeah. I think it's sorry to say, but I think it's the right move. I, as we discussed at the time yesterday, I would have brought back Espada. I thought that was the right move. I get Dana Brown coming back. I thought it would have been too rash to move on from him at this point. After next season might be a different story. But somebody had to take the fall for this, and the easiest guy to blame to me is Alex Cintron, and I actually think he would be more at fault than Joe Espada for the things that transpired this year. Now, I also acknowledge hitting coaches always get too much credit and too much blame. He has been the hitting coach for 8 years. He was the hitting coach when they won the World Series, right? So it's not like he suddenly lost his way, but sometimes that message needs to change. Sometimes the approach, as you just laid out, needs to be altered and changed. And I'd also say two damning things happened this year for Cintron, other than what the Astros were just doing as an offense as a whole on the field. Number one was the whole story of Alex Bregman going to Boston. And part of the reason why he wanted to go to Boston was because they found some things that he should have fixed in his swing. And then Bregman came out to that like career best start this year. And so it was almost like, well, how come the Astros didn't pick up on this stuff? And then the second thing for me, too, was Jesus Sanchez, who I really liked that move of bringing him in. And the Astros kind of sold it on this idea of he has this potential that hasn't been tapped into just yet or fully, and we're going to make some adjustments, and then he's wait till you see him. And then he came to Houston, and he hit under 200. Yeah. He was actually worse with the Astros than he was with the Marlins. And it was like, oh, whatever you guys were trying to do with him backfired. So I thought those two things, outside of just obviously the offense as a whole, really stood out this year of like, yeah, this – these are bad signs for the hitting staff, specifically Cintron.
It's felt like over the last couple of years that the Astros almost had a reverse splits in coaching, right? Like whatever it is, whatever magic they're able to sprinkle on the pitchers whenever they acquire a pitcher, like they take a good pitcher and make them great. Take an okay pitcher and make them good. Maybe take a bad pitcher and make them serviceable. They have figured out a way over the years, and they've maintained this even with pitching coach changes, even with Brent Strom leaving, how they're able to just like manufacture pitching somehow. And it's really something to marvel at. I think that it's something that the Astros as an organization deserve a lot of credit for. But, you know, in the same vein, you look at the other side, you look at them at the plate, and it's like they have the opposite effect. They're like, you know, Jesus Sanchez is a perfect antidote for you to mention there of somebody that they bring in. They're supposed to make him better.
Yep.
And somehow, I'm not going to say they made him worse, but they certainly did not make him better, and he performed worse.
Yep.
Whatever you want to attribute that to. And then, of course, the Isak Paredes thing was more of a luck thing. He ends up getting hurt, but he had been excellent for them. But they can't even get that right. You bring in a guy who's a patient hitter, and it's supposed to help stabilize your lineup, and you know he gets hurt, and it just doesn't seem to have as great of an effect on the lineup as you would expect it to. And just across the board, they just were not patient and selective enough, nor were they flat out good enough. You know, like if you're going to swing out of the zone, damn it, you better be Jose Altuve, right? And I'm talking about Jose Altuve of old. They were not that. So it'll be interesting to see what they do, like what direction that they go in the future, because this is obviously something that they got to address, something that they got to improve on. If you want to see something different from just early exits from the postseason like last year, or not making the postseason at all like this year, like they're going to be a similar team until they figure that part out.
And by the way, Brian McTaggart then added on just a couple minutes ago to this report that not only is Cintron gone, but also assistant hitting coach Troy Snicker,
yep.
Which makes sense. Why keep one without the other? Just clean house that department.
And they've been together the entire time. Yeah, so that makes sense.
Yeah, they're kind of that tandem package.
I'm kind of curious other staff changes that I think you mentioned it in the breaking news, other staff changes coming soon.
Yeah.
So I'm wondering what is that. I wonder if that's probably maybe the medical staff or if it's something else. Yeah. So I'm kind of curious what type of other moves they're going to make.
Yeah, one more too that McTaggart said is also Michael Collins, who worked closely with the catchers. And obviously this year the catcher's defense was hideous. It was actually worse in the league. So that makes sense too. So those are the changes for now. But as Chandler Rome said, more changes are expected Unless he was alluding to those, because those came after the Cintron news. But yeah. But we'll see what else they change.
Dana Brown, the general manager, did say, and obviously his status was in question at the time.
Yeah.
But he did say that they would look at the entire operation. So I think given that, it would have been disappointing if they just ran it back and didn't make any changes to the operational staff, like whether that's coaching or in the front office or the medical staff, like Figgy just alluded to a moment ago. Like, they had to do something. Yeah. Something had to change for them to kind of right this ship.
Agreed. And these are the easiest changes to make, and that's why they did it. But like I said yesterday, I think this upcoming year is a big prove-it year for Espada. I am a Joe Espada defender, at least to a certain degree, but it's my understanding that he's entering a contract year as well. And this is what always happens. You get rid of some of the assistants, and that buys the head coach or the manager some time. And then if things don't work out next year, it's like, all right, you know, we're just going to start over maybe entirely with this coaching staff. But, you know, this buys Espada a little more time, but also puts more pressure on him for 2026 as the Astros are making changes on the coaching staff, including the hitting coaches.
Yeah, so obviously we knew that the Astros offense was bad, that they did not score enough runs, did not hit enough or hit well enough throughout the season. I did not realize this until just reading Chandler Rome's breaking news article about this in The Athletic. The Astros scored three or fewer runs in more than half of their games.
Oof.
In more than half of their games, in 82. Half would be 81. So in more than half of their games, these guys scored three or fewer runs while posting an OPS of 719. So that's just not going to get it done. No wonder they're not in the postseason. With those numbers, they just flat out don't belong. So that's something that's got to improve.
Yeah, certainly. On the text line, somebody said the Astros should get back to analytics. I think that makes a lot of baseball fans, or at least old school baseball fans, maybe roll their eyes.
Come on. Everybody is needing the analytics now. Not just the Astros. They're not breaking the mold. They're like, everybody's doing analytics now.
For sure. Someone said, hitting coach, I've wanted Joe fired for 2 years. Astros need to do something with the medical staff, and then you'll have my attention. I do agree there. And someone said, whoever coached Altuve's base running should also be gone. And there's not much you could do about that at this point.
Yeah, I don't know, man. The dude is 35 years old. You know, like, you're not teaching the old dog new tricks. I mean, he is what he is at this point.
Yeah. The hitting coach... I'll say this, the hitting coach oftentimes, like I said, they get too much credit, too much blame. But you look in the playoffs right now, the Mariners brought in a new hitting coach this year, and their offense has been much better, and here they are in the playoffs. The Blue Jays brought in a new hitting coach this year. They got him from the Twins, and the Twins really fell off even before they traded off their pieces at the deadline. Their offense was much worse this year, and the Blue Jays brought in their new hitting coach, and the Blue Jays had the number one offense in the AL this year, both in terms of strikeouts and home runs. And look at where they are. So my point being, sometimes when you make that change of bringing in a new hitting coach, sometimes it's not necessarily that the hitting coach. It's more on the players. And sometimes a new hitting coach can make all the difference.
Hey, who was it with the Red Sox that helped Alex Bregman find it in his swing?
That's right.
Go get that guy. Whoever that is, go get them.
Hey, you want a promotion?
Hey, man. Come to Houston. It's a lot warmer. Do your thing out here, man.
Yeah. That's right. So there's your breaking news. Alex Cintron's gone. Snicker's gone as well, the two hitting coaches. And then also the catcher's coach has also been relieved of his duties, Michael Collins, as well. We'll see if any other changes come to the Astros coaching staff, but that is to begin. I am surprised, actually, by the timing, because I did look this up, and in recent years when they have made changes, it was usually like a full month after the season. It was late October. So not waiting around today, although I also read something a couple days ago that Cintron's contract was up too, so maybe that's why this was sped up, of them just making the decision of, like, yeah, we're not going to retain you.
Yeah, the language in the breaking news report is decided not to, when we say part ways, they're just deciding not to renew his contract, which, of course, as we've laid out, there's no reason to do that.
Yeah, yep. So we'll have new hitting coaches, or at least a new hitting coach for the Astros. Hey, when we come back, we'll get to buy or sell. We pushed it back for that breaking news from the Astros. We'll do it when we come back. It's In the Loop.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance.
What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
To remind you that 60% of sales on Amazon come from independent sellers, here's John from Devil Dog Pet Company.
We run our family business from Sterling Heights, Michigan, but we can reach customers all over the country thanks to Amazon. Good boy.
Shop small business on Amazon.
Whatever happens today, take it on with a fresh cup of True Brew coffee. Now only $1 with True Rewards. True North Store's True Brew coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. As a free True Rewards member, pick the size that is perfect for you and pay only $1. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.